our special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Olin Kruch, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley. We never talk football. We talk trash.
Craft beer mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
Patrick Manley.
It's a little different morning. We're thrown off a little bit. Imagine my shock that you guys can go on without me with the phone pregame show. That's shocking.
I know. It's a struggle, man. It's a real struggle.
Hey. I'm not happy you guys sound so good. You know what I mean? Like, Pat, you remember when you would get hurt and somebody would go in and you're acting like you're cheering for them and you're really not?
Yep, 100%.
With you guys this morning.
100%.
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We've been hoping that we could have a conversation with Patrick Manley considering the goings-on of the Chicago Bears. And at first, as the game's going on, you're going, oh, well, this is just going to be great. We'll talk with Patrick about the team being 4-2. And then you realize the long snapper got hurt, and Cole Kmet went in there and did an admirable job. So admirable of a job did Cole Kmet do, he was named Special Teams Player of the Week.
I mean, never has a long snapper had a good enough week to win this award. Never won, Pat? I thought maybe Trey Junkin, but not him, not Pat Manley. How is this possible, dude?
Or not.
Yeah, Pat's on mute.
That's all right. We'll get him off of mute.
Pat, you're muted, brother. You're muted.
Pat, you're muted. Pat, keep talking.
Patrick, you're muted.
Yeah. Bilal, you there, man? All right.
It's okay.
Who mute? It's my first time on Zoom. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. We were saying, like, I covered
this mute button is so huge. You got to get that mute button turned on.
No, I heard you guys. I covered, you just couldn't hear me.
16 years of Patrick Manley doing everything he could to help the Bears win, and not once were you named Special Teams Player of the Week. So are you happy or are you mad that Cole Kmet, in a backup role, got that honor?
Well, Brad Biggs called me today when I was on the golf course, and he said he told me the news, and I guess my reaction was, that's funny as hell, because I was a little confused. I'm like, wait a second. He really got Special Teams Player of the Week? I understand what he did was great for the team, and he did an okay job and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to put my old player hat on here and stand up for my other guys. There had to be other guys in the league who did something bigger and better than that. Let's just say this. Daniel Hardy, who caused the fumble for the Bears, right? If they recover that, he caused the fumble, and say he had two tackles as well, is that more impactful of a game, of a special teams game, as being a special teamer? No, but this really got – what he did was great. He did a nice job. I'll give him that. But I do think that's the NFL just kind of patting him on the back and raising up that what he did a little bit. And I do think there are some guys in the league that are like, wait a minute. I had three tackles, caused a fumble, or whatever my return average was. He came in and did, what, six snaps? Five of them pretty good. One of them, he was part of the problem on the block. I got on him last night on his podcast.
Good.
So I was on there, and I just gave an honest breakdown. We had a good time doing it. But, it's a neat thing he did, but I don't think truly he deserved being Special Teams Player of the Week. And that's just me putting my old-timer grumpy old special teams hat on.
I love that you went on his pod and gave him the business on that, because that's outstanding. So what award were you eligible for? You know, was there anything that you could have won, Pat, on the weekend?
No, well, we were always up for that, but here's what I wanted to do each week. And Dave Tobe did a great job of making our room super, super competitive. We always had a point system. So every week you had a point system of number of blocks you had, tackles you had. We ended up adding successful snaps. Kicks over 40 yards for Robbie. So everybody kind of got on equal footing for the point system. And you wanted to come in Monday and be one of the top three point getters. So that was my goal each week, was trying to get that. There was a few times that I did get the point total lead or whatever for the week. So that was the only thing I was vying for. But now maybe long snappers have a chance to win it after Cole put us on the map, that if they do recognize a player having maybe two or three tackles as a long snapper and all successful snaps, then maybe he deserves it.
Yeah. Well, how would you say he did, and what things did he do correctly as a long snapper?
All right. I broke him down here. I got him right here in front of me. We can do, you want to go through the all six snaps?
Hell yeah.
This is what I told him last night. I said, great job coming in there and doing all that stuff. But I was really upset with his, he just did a little fist pump after the first one. He scores touchdowns, right? And does the baseball swing. Don't you think you'd be more excited after having a successful snap and scoring a touchdown that he deserved a baseball swing? And he laughed like, and he goes, yeah, I was nervous as hell or whatever. I'm like, well, deserve your baseball swing. But he did a good job overall. They all just got a little bit higher, and I told him, you look like you got too comfortable, like it got too easy for you. So each one got higher and higher. And then finally I got him about the – he was great too, by the way. He's literally leaning in on the Zoom call. This kid must be very coachable because he was listening to every word. And I was like, I'm just kind of having fun here, but – he was really listening and kind of taking mental notes. And then I got on him on the last one. I go, you got to help Karan in the A-gap, man. You got to snap and lean to the overload side because that's where the little block came through. But and he's sitting there shaking his head. He's like, all right. I'm like, Cole, you're probably never doing it again, so don't worry about it.
That is outstanding. We're with Patrick Manley here. So, look, they signed a backup long snapper. They signed this guy, Jake McQuaid, the
Pro Bowler.
Yeah, former Lions long snapper, a two-time Pro Bowler to the practice squad, because you can't have Cole Kmet doing this in practice, right? So at the very least, you're doing that. Is Jake McQuaid on the Patrick Manley long snapper tree, like Scott Daly was?
No, he's not.
He's not. Well, does he have a chance to make this team? How's your boy Scott doing in this regard?
Well, I guess what we know is that the MRI came back better than what they thought, so I do think he has a chance, and I hope he does. I talked to him a little bit. He's excited. There isn't major damage, so that's the biggest part. So we'll see if he can heal up in 2 weeks. Yeah, there we go. Thanks. Salute it.
Yeah, we'll salute major damage.
Yes.
Yeah. Dave Tobe's point system is awesome. You've shared about that before, and mm-hmm. It's like this team, Pat, the way that this team talks about each other, the way that they talk about each other's role, the way that they celebrate. I mean, Caleb's celebrating Cole Kmet's long snap, you know? DJ suggesting on the bus to the players, you better get Cole this play on the good side of the 50, maybe even the 40. You give him a chance to score on it. Like, them wanting good things for each other. The vibes are good, are they not?
You're the major of of good vibes, aren't you? Salute.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, they are. It just seems that way, that it's all the way across the board from, like you just said, special teams to defense to offense. And that's what winning does. And I got to give credit to Ryan Poles as well. It seems like he's built a locker room of guys that, you know, want to play with each other. There's nobody sitting out there that's, you know, kind of a, you know, just a bad guy or whatever that's trying to fit into that team. It seems like everybody is on the same page, and hopefully they can keep this winning streak going. But that's what winning does, and it's cool to see. And that's how you just kind of keep, you know, I always talk about momentum, and I truly believe in that, that you go in and practice a little harder. You do a little bit more for each other. You spend more time in the weight room, the training room, anything you need to get done. Maybe this off season, this bye week, they're spending a little bit more time in self-scout. You know, they're not there in the building, but maybe coach gave them I've had bye weeks before. We had a couple days off, and you had to go study yourself and come back and give a report card of yourself, what you need to work on. Maybe they're doing that with those guys and they take it a little more serious because they are on the hunt right now.
Cole said it on his show. He said it in the post game about the terror of having your name called. We lived through that, Patrick. How scared was Des Clark when he had to do it?
Thank God it was only in the preseason. We talked quite a bit. It's not fun. It's you know, that's not what they do. They might have done it in high school, but they don't do it during the week. Like I put a tweet out that I guarantee you every backup long snapper in the NFL this week is working on it now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they're probably going to bring him out. Some teams will start bringing the guy out for the pregame practice. Most of the time, you don't bring that guy out. You let him stay with the tight end unit, the O-line unit, or whatever. But I bet this week a few of the guys will do that. And then I reached out to Greg Olson as well, because he had to do a couple snaps in the preseason when he was with us. And he reminded me, it was when I was a little bit older, that he's like, yeah, you just needed to take a break because you got old. So he had to go in and do like two or three snaps. And I think one of them was against the Cleveland Browns, and Joshua Cribbs returned a preseason touchdown against them. And he vividly remembers that, but he was giving me – he was ribbing me a little bit for not being able to finish a preseason game because I was old. But that's all right.
Oh, my God. That's tremendous. I love that you still have these contacts around the league and touch base with them. When you do so, is the league-wide optimism on the Bears akin to what we feel in this town, Patrick?
Yeah, and it all goes back to Caleb, and a lot of times they're really asking me, is the kid real? You know, because they're not watching as much as we are, as I am, and my answer is yes. I really think he is, and that's, you know, I've talked to you before that if you have a top seven quarterback, you have a chance to win every game in this NFL, and he's working his way up there quickly, a lot quicker than I thought he would. But, yeah, everybody is on board, and once I tell them that I think Caleb is the real deal, they always talk about our defense and how good the defense is, so everybody's got the positive vibes. Let's go back to vibes, the positive vibes about these Bears, and that's all the way across the league and former players and everybody else I talked to.
What did your tape breakdown tell you about how well Caleb did?
Again, just the progress of him, the game slowing down. He was jittery in week one, and each game he just seems like he sees the game. It's just slowing down. He's that quarterback now that once he gets under center, he knows either this or this is going to happen. He can recognize blitzes. He can recognize coverages. He does it really quick. He does it calmly. He also now is using the cadence even better. He's still kind of screwing up on sending guys in motion a little bit, but that's to be understood being this young in his career.
Hmm.
But it just, to me, the accelerated learning curve of that kind of Matrix-esque feeling of a quarterback where they just kind of know what's going on in front of them and everything slows down. It's just really neat to watch. And I think Kurt Warner was talking about it during the broadcast, just looking at his eyes, seeing his eyes watch the field and understand it doesn't look like there's panic in there. We've had a lot of quarterbacks come through here the last few years, and you see panic pre-snap, and I just don't see that.
Wow, that's good stuff. Like the accelerated development and the Matrix-like feeling that a good quarterback has. And if it is a top seven quarterback, then it changes everything. This offensive line has looked better, but how much of that is due to the chemistry and symmetry with Caleb, who for the most part is getting the ball out quicker, among other things?
Yeah, let's go with the run game. I think that's helping them out quite a bit too. I think they figured out what they're good at. I like the fact that Matt Pryor is now putting his hand in the ground in the run game, and him and Darnell Wright are moving people off the ball. And then to back to the pass protection, it's a lot to do with who they're going against the last 2 weeks. They really have not had anybody up the middle that has caused them problems like they did earlier in the year. They did a nice job on the edge. There's still some improvement that needs to be done on the outside. They had a nice game plan of helping the chip a little bit and move Caleb out of the pocket. But to me, this O-line, what they've gone against, they've done what they're supposed to do, but I'm really nervous about, you know, a much better D-line like we saw earlier in the year if they truly have taken that step forward to help Caleb.
Patrick, as always, we appreciate your expertise and your breakdown on everything. Have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Patrick, thanks. There's a massive piece of baseball news, and the headline is one thing. The subtext is quite another, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I've been... No disrespect to Patrick. I've been texting while we were having our segment with Patrick, and I actually have something from someone from the White Sox who reacted to it.
Good, because this story demands the working of every possible source we can. So that's good stuff.
This could be major news about the White Sox, or it could be nothing, but we'll share it with you and let you figure it out next here on The Score.